السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, I want to complete this series of lectures on the qualities of the people of Jannah. And today I want to complete what we started last week and complete that and then finish the last of the qualities today, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, last week we talked about the famous journey to Taif and the result of that, and what happened when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into the garden of the two people from Quraysh, and Addas, their slave, met him and gave him water and gave him grapes and then accepted Islam at his hands, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this shows up another very important thing which also relates with the last quality of the people of Jannah, which inshallah we will talk about today, which is the issue of enmity and hatred. Now, enmity and hatred is a strange disease, because it blinds those people who are afflicted by it to all good, just because it comes from someone they don't like. And we see this throughout, and may Allah protect us. If we see it in our own lives, then we must immediately make tawbah and get out of it, because it's a very bad disease. It blinds us from any good that comes from somebody we don't like. And at the end of the day, if you don't take the good, you are the only person who is harmed. The person you don't take it from doesn't affect him. But if something is good and if you could have benefited from it, but you reject it because of who it came from, then it can only cause you harm. And this is what happened with the people who hated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They refused to accept the message of Islam, not because they thought it was wrong. Somebody actually went to Abu Jahl and they asked him this question. They said, "Do you really mean that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is lying? Do you really believe that he is telling a lie?" He said, "No." He said, "Do you believe that he is telling the truth?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Do you believe that he is the messenger of Allah?" He said, "Yes." Then they said, "This is strange. What prevents you from accepting it?" He said, "Because he came in that family, not in my family. How can he come in that family?" He said, "That family already gives water to the Hujjaj, Thiqayatul Hajj. They already have the honor of giving water and food to the Hujjaj. Why must the honor of the messenger also come there?" Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't declare on his own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. So now if Abu Jahl refuses and rejects Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was harmed in the end? Not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, tragedy is that this happens to us to this day. We are not rejecting any messengers, because there are no messengers after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we reject people and we reject messages from people just because we don't like them. Who is harmed? Nobody, except yourself. Enmity and hatred is a disease of the heart. It blinds the person to all good that comes from that person who they hate. It opens the door for slandering. You fall into ghibah, you fall into buhtan, you fall into listening to bad about that person, you start talking bad about that person. And of course, as I said, thank Allah for the slanderer, because he gives unasked. You transfer your good deeds to the person you hate. Now, what is more stupid than that? For ignorance, there is a cure, which is knowledge. For stupidity, there is no cure. Stupidity is not ignorance. My brothers and sisters, now imagine the situation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He failed in his attempt to present Islam to the people of Taif. He already had very little success with the people of Makkah. What must have been his feelings at that time, when not only was he rejected, but he was rejected so mercilessly, where he was abused and where he was harmed physically, where he was assaulted. And for what? for presenting the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, which he had been charged with. If there was anyone in the world, in the whole of creation, who had a right to expect direct protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there was anyone who had the right to expect direct help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there was anyone who had the right to feel injured, to feel let down, to feel betrayed, because he did not get this help, apparently in a worldly sense, it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there was anyone who had a right to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help or not helping, it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But see what he did. See what he did. His dua in Taif is famous in the seerah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell in sujood. And he says, "Oh Allah, I complain to you of my weakness." He's not saying, "Oh Allah, I complain to you because you're supposed to help me. What happened? How come no malaika are coming to my help? How come these people, the stones are hitting me? How come they are abusing me? What wrong am I doing? Sorry, I'm not interested in this job." Did he say this? Even when he complains, what does he complain about? He's himself. He said, "Oh Allah, I complain to you of my weakness, my scarcity of resources, and the humiliation that I have been subjected to by the people. Most merciful of those who are merciful. Ya Arhamur Rahimin. Ya Rabbul Mustada'fin. O Rabb of the weak. Wa Rabbi and my Rabb." My brothers and sisters, I say this again and again to you, many times in many different contexts, learn to make dua. Learn to make dua. My father, rahmatullah, used to say that each person has a personal relationship with Allah, which is his alone. So build that relationship. You alone, nobody else. That is your relationship with your Rabb. Build that relationship. Learn to make dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua to his Rabb. Oh Rabb of the weak. Rabbul Mustada'fin. Wa Rabbi and my own Rabb. To whom have you entrusted me? To a distant person who receives me with hostility, or to an enemy to whom you have granted authority over my affair? So long as you are not angry with me, I do not care. So long as you are not angry with me, I do not care. Your favor is relief to me. I seek refuge in the light of your face, by which all darkness is dispelled and every affair of this world and the next is set right, lest your anger or your displeasure descends upon me. I desire your pleasure and satisfaction until you are pleased. In this dua, to me, the thing that hit my heart was these two words. Hatta tarda. Until you are pleased. Hatta tarda. Until you are pleased. I will work until you are pleased. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. And there's no power and no might except you. The Nabi made this dua and he said, "Hatta tarda, until you are pleased." And his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, he said, "Wala sawfa yutika rabbuka fatarda." He said, tomorrow, meaning on the day of judgment, your Rabb will make you pleased. Your Rabb will give you until you are pleased. "Wala sawfa yutika rabbuka fatarda." We talk about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tomorrow, wala sawfa, meaning on the day of judgment, yutika, your Rabb will give you. Wala sawfa yutika rabbuka fatarda. Your Rabb will give you until you are pleased. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu says that this ayah is the ayah of greatest hope in the Quran. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never be pleased even if one single ummati of his goes to Jahannam. And his Rabb promised to please him. His Rabb promised to please him. And he said the Nabi will never be pleased even if one person goes to Jahannam and his Rabb promised to please him. And therefore he says, this is the ayah of greatest happiness and greatest hope for us. My brothers and sisters, see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This life is a life of tests, and nobody is tested more than the Anbiya alayhimu salam. One test is over, a physical, material test is over. What must happen? Certificate of passing the test. But what actually happens? Another test. Now a spiritual test comes on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salam comes and brings with him another malaik, another one of the malaik, another malak, and introduces him and says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the angel of the mountains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put him in your control. The other malak, the other farishta, the other angel says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Assalamu alaikum ya Rasulullah. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put me in your control and has commanded me to obey you. He said, give me the hukam and I will join these two mountains together. There will be no Taif. There will be no Taif. He says, the entire people of Taif will cease to exist. Just give me your hukam and this will happen. I told you a physical test, and then comes a spiritual test. Why a spiritual test? Because he, Jalla Jalalu, he sent him, and what did he say about him? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So here is a test. We sent you as a rahma for the people. We sent you as a rahma for the people. Those people harmed you. What is rahma? What did I say was rahma in the last lecture? Rahma is to give good in exchange for bad. Rahma is to give good in exchange for bad. So we sent you as a rahma for the people, and those people harmed you. So here is khudrat for you. Destroy them. Destroy them with the permission of Allah. No blame on you if you destroy them, because Allah sent the man. Allah sent the malak. Allah sent the angel and said, do whatever he tells you to do. Which means what? If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, go ahead, finish them, is he to be blamed? No. No blame on you. You have been given the power, do what you want. No blame on you. But hidden in that is a test. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So what does he do? He said, my Rabb did not send me to kill people. He said, my Rabb did not send me to kill people. You know why they abuse Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today? Because they do not see this rahmah in those who call themselves the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why they say, they abuse Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say he murdered people, he did this, he did that. All lies and falsehood. But you know why? Because they do not see this rahmah in us. They do not see this rahmah in how we treat each other. They do not see this rahmah in how we treat other people. My brothers and sisters, do not make the Nabi a witness against yourself on the Day of Judgment. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose mercy over revenge, although he could have had revenge without any blame. My brothers and sisters, if only we could live this life according to the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the world would break down your doors to come and enter Islam. People would hound you until you gave them Islam. People would not allow you to sleep in peace until you gave them Islam. People would catch you and throw you into prison until you gave them Islam. Huh? We like to talk about Islam, but we don't want to live Islam. And therefore my question to you, my brothers and sisters, is what are you going to do with regard to living by the Sunnah? Another lesson from this is the lesson about the devotion of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu shielded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his own body. He took the rocks which were meant for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his own body, on his own head, on his own face. Other Sahaba in Badr and in Uhud protected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the arrows of the enemies. Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu protected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his own body to the extent that they say that he looked like a pincushion. He had so many arrows in him. People marveled. They said, how is this man still standing with all these arrows? Today, to protect his sunnah is equal to protecting the blessed body and person of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To break the sunnah is equal to attacking the blessed body of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make your choice. Make your choice who you want to stand up with. Abu Muslim al-Qawlani rahmatullah alayhi, the man who stood up to the false prophet Aswad al-Ansi, and he walked out of the fire which was lit to burn him. Famous quote of his, he says, do the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam think that we, meaning we who are not Sahaba, do the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam think that we are going to allow them to keep the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to themselves? He said, no, we will compete with them for the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will take our share of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How? By protecting his sunnah, by living by his sunnah. That is the way that we will share in the barakah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not by singing anashid, not by having great jalsas of Miladun Nabi, but by living by the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every single day of our lives. By looking like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by walking and talking like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by our dealings and muamilat like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by our akhlaq like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, today when we protect the sunnah by practicing it, defending the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and speaking out against those who seek to revile him, what we do may not be as great as what Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu did, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will be pleased by our attempts to protect and support his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward us in keeping with his dignity and with the glory and majesty of his generosity. My dear brothers and sisters, final point on this. Being goal focused when you are being applauded for that goal and for that focus is easy. You're doing something and people say, oh, fantastic, great job. But being goal focused when you are being criticized for it, and when you have no apparent support for it, now this is another matter. To continue to remain goal focused when nobody is with you, when people criticize you, people revile you, not because you did any harm to them, but because you are focused on a goal and that goal is really to help the same people. But people do not see that and they revile you for that. To still remain goal focused, this is very difficult. To continue to remain on your path and to face your own failure to convince people, yet have no doubts in your eventual success. This is the test of the leader. In the dark of the night, when the darkness within the soul is more opaque than the darkness outside, when a man stands alone without any visible support, that is when he realizes that the real support for the mission has to come from within. And that comes only and only with a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Where he feels completely comfortable with taking his troubles to the only one who can solve them. He doesn't talk about his troubles to the world. He talks about his troubles to the only one who can solve them. A man was complaining to another person about his life. When Hasan al-Basri passed by and he stopped and said to the man, what a strange man you are. He said, what a strange man you are. You are complaining about the Arhamur Rahimin to somebody who has no Raham. He said, you are complaining about the Merciful to someone who has no mercy. He says, what can this man do for you? At the most, he'll feel sorry for you. Maybe he'll even laugh at you behind your back when you're gone. My brothers and sisters, we come finally to the last of the qualities of the people of Jannah. And that is the quality of magnanimity and forgiveness. Magnanimity and forgiveness is the fundamental and foundational quality of building the Ummah, of building relationships. It is the adhesive, it's the binding force that takes everything along. It is this quality, and the absence of which leads to utter failure, even in cases where people involved are extremely talented, dedicated and committed, and they were on the right path. But because they did not have forgiveness in their hearts, because they bore enmity, because their hearts were not big enough to forgive people, they failed. And they were not able to hold together the people with them. And this is what destroyed the effort and destroyed themselves. Before I go further, I ask myself and I ask you this question. Who are you willing to forgive right now in your own life? If you are among those who have nobody to forgive, all power to you. May Allah keep you like that. But for most of us, there will be somebody about whom we have some negative thought. Maybe more, maybe less. Someone you don't like, someone you find irritating, someone you hate the face of, and so on and so forth, different degrees. But somebody you don't like. I want you to think about that person. Right now in your mind, name that person. And I want you to do two things. Number one, forgive that person right now as you sit here and say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I have forgiven this person. And then when you leave here and go home today, contact that person and tell them about it. If the person has passed away, or if you are in a position where you don't want to tell them or you can't tell them, at least don't carry this forward. Be good to them, say salam to them. Hatred is fire, and the result is always ash. There's no difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu, واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, in Surah Al Imran, Allah said the meaning of the ayah, and hold fast, وَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold fast, all of you together, to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, which is the Quran, which is Islam, which is the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wala tafarraqu, and do not be divided. Wala tafarraqu, do not be divided amongst yourselves. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor on you, for you were enemies one to another. But He jalla jalaluhu joined your hearts together, so that by His grace you became brethren in Islam. And you were on the brink of a pit of fire, and He saved you from it. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His ayat clear to you, that you may be guided. Today we are distinguished not by holding together, but by differences. Miserable minor differences. And we will not talk to each other, we will not pray behind each other, we will not go to each other's masajid. We name the masjid after some firqa. The masjid is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. At the most, you might name the masjid by some good name. But to name the masjid that this is masjid of this jamaat or that jamaat, this is haram. It is not your house for you to name and restrict the people from entering that masjid. A masjid is not only open to Muslims, a masjid is open to every human being on the face of the earth. Because if a Hindu or a Christian or a Sikh or an atheist wants to know what is Islam, where do you want him to go? Where do you want him to go? If you close the masjid and say only Muslims and that also Muslims of this particular jamaat are allowed inside this masjid, and if someone who is not from that jamaat or somebody who is not a Muslim wants to know about Islam, where do you want him to go? What are you going to say when he stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment without Islam and he is designated for the fire and he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, before I go into the hellfire, tell me where was I supposed to go because your Muslims shut the door of the masjid for me. I wanted to go, but they did not allow me inside their masjid. Where did you want me to go? What is the reply? وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. My brothers and sisters, unity is the outcome of forgiveness. It is the result of forgiveness. And that is what the final and most important lesson is that I would like to draw. My brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah. After 13 years of persecution, brutal persecution, where he was personally harmed, his daughter was killed, all his wealth was confiscated, his property was confiscated, no compensation, nothing, and not only for him, for all of his followers, for no reason, no harm other than they said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now he came back and he came back with power and authority and position and army. It was his right to extract retribution. It was his right to take revenge. It was his right to demand, at least to demand compensation. But what did he do? He forgave everybody. He forgave them all. As the army was marching towards Makkah, somebody came and reported to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the commander of the Ansar of Medina, Sa'd bin Mu'ad radiallahu anhu, they said that he has raised a slogan, Al Yawma Yawmul Malhama. He said the slogan he raised is, today is a day of killing. Today is a day of killing. We are going to slaughter the enemies. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately countered and he said, Al Yawma Yawmul Marhama. He said, today is a day of mercy. Today is a day of raham, of mercy. And then he did a wonderful thing. He took away the command of the forces from Sa'd bin Mu'ad radiallahu anhu. And he gave it to his son. Now imagine, see the amazing hikmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took away the command because here is a man who is focused on this, so we don't know what he will do. But he did not humiliate him and insult him. He took the command and he gave the command to his own son. So he kept the command in the family so that nobody is offended. People are still obeying the same leadership. And yet, the message has been given very clearly that nobody will kill anyone. And this is when there was every justification to do that. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned also the issue of what infighting does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَادًا فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that hold the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this holding of the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you will have strength. In another place in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa'atihu Allah wa'atihu Rasulah. And he said, do not dispute with one another, lest you lose your courage.
and your strength. That's hawa rihukum. Your hawa, as we say in Urdu. Hawa meaning not the Arabic hawa, which is desires, but in Urdu, hawa means your influence. Allah says your influence will disappear. People will stop seeing you as influential. They will stop respecting you. The respect for you will go away. And in lallaha ma'as sabirin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people who have sabr. My brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was entering Makkah after all this suffering. He made tawaf of the Kaaba and he called Uthman bin Talha radiallahu anhu, to whose family held the key of the Kaaba. He called him and asked him for the key of the Kaaba. Uthman bin Talha came with the key of the Kaaba. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened the door. He ordered Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to wipe out all the drawings and things which were written on the walls of the Kaaba internally. It's a detailed story. I'm not going into all the details now because of Jummah. But read it. That's why I keep saying read the seerah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went around the Kaaba on his camel. And then he pointed to the idols which were all around the Kaaba. With his bow, he pointed to the idol and he said, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَحَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. The ayat of Surah Al-Isra, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the truth has come and the falsehood has disappeared. And it is the nature of falsehood to disappear. And he would point at an idol and he would recite this ayah and the idol fell down on its own and broke. And that's how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cleared and cleaned the Kaaba and restored it to its original position as the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any idols in it. At this time, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu came to Nabi Sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, keep this key of the Kaaba. Let us keep the key, meaning in the among the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, let us keep the key of the Kaaba so that we collect for ourselves this. We already have the honor of Siqayatul Hajj, of feeding the Hujjaj and giving them water. He said, let us also keep the key of the Kaaba. Test after test after test. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Uthman bin Talha radiallahu anhu. And he gave the key to him. And he said, keep the key of the Kaaba. And he said, this will stay in your family and it will be in your hand unless it is taken from you by a tyrant. Until today, 1400 and something years later, till today, the key of the Kaaba is in the family of Uthman bin Talha radiallahu anhu. And annually when they wash the Kaaba, the governor of Makkah in the name of the king of Saudi Arabia goes and asks for the key. And this key is given to him and only then the Kaaba is opened. Happens till today. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then stood in the door of the Kaaba on the top. And he called the people. And today they came running to him. There was a day when he called the people from Safa and they cursed him. But today they came running to him because today he had power. So they came running to him and he asked them, he said, what do you want me to do with you? He said, what do you think I will do with you? And they said, Anta Akhil Kareem, wa Ibnul Akhil Kareem. They said, you are our honored brother and you are the son of our honored brother. Power is a good thing to have, huh? But it's also a great corrupter. Power is a greater corrupter than wealth. It's a greater corrupter than anything else. Power in the hands of the pious is a very good thing. Power in the hands of people without taqwa. Subhanallah, this ummah is feeling that today. Power in the hands of people who have no taqwa. Amaratu sufaha. The amarat, the leadership of fools. My brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, قُلْ
Then he, and after the, when they said, you are the brother of, you are our honored brother, and you are the brother of our honored brother, meaning his father, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, today you are all free. He freed all of them. He could have kept them as slaves. He could have pronounced punishments. He could have executed them. He could have taken back. As I said, the minimum he could have taken compensation for his own loss, material loss. He didn't take anything. He took absolutely nothing. And he set them free, all of them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then chose Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu to give the adhan, and he ordered him to climb on top of the Kaaba and stand on top of the Kaaba. The Kaaba was beneath the feet of Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu. Think about that. What would have been more appropriate than for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself to call the adhan? Who had more right to call the adhan than the one who was the greatest da'i of Islam? The adhan is da'wah. The adhan is da'wah. Allahumma inna. What is the du'a of after adhan? Allahumma. Rabba hadihi da'wati tamma. Complete da'wah. So who had the right to call this adhan more than Muhammadur Rasulullah? Who had the right to, if he wanted to climb on top of the Kaaba, who had the right to do that more than Rasulullah? But Nabi Sallallahu chose Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu. He did not choose Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He did not choose Uthman ibn Affan. He did not choose any of the Umara of the Quraysh. He chose a man who was a slave, who had been a slave. He chose an African black man who they looked down on, who they treated with scant regard. And he made him stand on top of the Kaaba. The Kaaba was beneath the feet of Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu. And he said, call the adhan. My dear brothers and sisters, in my opinion, Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this to destroy all systems of caste and creed, to destroy racism completely, to destroy all feelings of superiority on the basis of race, on the basis of color of the skin, on the basis of lineage, on the basis of this family or that tribe. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam destroyed all of them with one symbol and one action, and gave the message very clearly that those who have piety, those who have taqwa, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The one who are the most, who have the most ikram before Allah, the one who have the most izzah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the ones who have the greatest piety. Sayyid bin Musayyib radiallahu anhu says that the night of the conquest was not a night of celebration in the normal sense. Normal sense of celebration after a war is what? Is drinking and dancing and beating of drums and looting. He said, no. He said the Sahaba made tawaf around the Kaaba, making takbir and tahleel, saying Allahu Akbar and Alhamdulillah and Subhanallah all night. Abu Sufyan went to his wife Hinda and said, do you think this is from Allah? She came out of the house, she saw what was happening, and she says, yes, this is from Allah. And this is a personal conversation between Abu Sufyan bin Harb radiallahu anhu and Hinda, the wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Only two people there, nobody else. Personal, private conversation inside the house. After that, Abu Sufyan came and met Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you asked Hind that this is, whether this is from Allah? And she told you that it was. Abu Sufyan said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to inform him that this is what happened over there. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him what happened there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then declared the whole of Makkah to be a haram, which is a protected place. And he prohibited the hunting of animals and the cutting of trees. And the same applies to Medina and the area around Al-Masjid Al-Haram. My brothers and sisters, I want to close with one of the most beautiful stories of the seerah. In the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, one of the tabi'in invited Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu to his place. So he cooked some food and invited some other people, and he invited Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was famous for his hospitality. He used to constantly invite people to eat with him. So when this Sahabi came and when this Tabi'i came and he invited him, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, "Sabaqtani." He said, "You have beaten me to it." He said, "I wanted to invite you, but you invited me before that." And when he came in the evening for the meal, he said to them, he said, "Shall I tell you, O Ansar?" Because these were Tabi'in from Medina. He said, "Shall I tell you, O Ansar, a hadith that belongs to you?" And they said, "Of course." The gift of the ulama is ilm. So when you go to somebody's house, you take a gift. This is our culture. We don't go empty-handed. So what does the scholar take? He takes knowledge. Because there is no gift that is superior to knowledge. So he said to them, "Shall I tell you a hadith which belongs to you?" And they said, "Of course." And he said, radiallahu anhu, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Makkah, Zubair radiallahu anhu was commanding one wing, Khalid bin Walid the other wing, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah commanded the foot soldiers, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his own battalion. He said to the people, he said, "Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw me and he called me and he said, 'Oh Abu Huraira, call the Ansar to me, and nobody but the Ansar must come to me.' So I called Al-Ansar and they surrounded Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from every direction. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, he said, 'Listen to me.' He said, 'Whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan is safe. Whoever enters his own house is safe.' And then he said to the Ansar, he said, 'Did you say that I will leave you and stay in Makkah?'" He's talking to them. Now imagine, this was a rumor that was floating around at that time, because people said, the Prophet ﷺ came to us because he could not stay in Makkah anymore. He came as a refugee. But now Makkah belongs to him. Not only is he back in Makkah, but Makkah literally belongs to him. He conquered the place. It belongs to him. He's the king. He owns it. So maybe he will leave us and go back to Makkah. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, he asked them, he said, "Did you say that I will leave you and stay in Makkah?" And Abu Huraira says, the Ansar who were around him, they said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah." And he said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I am a slave of Allah. I made hijrah to Allah and to you. My life is with you. And my death is with you." Huh? Ajib. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he left Makkah and he was going, he would turn around and he would cry and he would weep and he would say, "This is my city, this is my homeland, this is my motherland. I'm leaving and going." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved the Kaaba so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Kaaba the Qibla of the Muslims. He loved the Kaaba so much that Allah changed the Qibla from Jerusalem to Kaaba, and Allah mentioned it specifically. He said, "I changed it because you like it." Allah said, "I could see you turning your face constantly towards Masjid al-Haram. And yet, when he had the option to stay in the Kaaba, when he had the option to stay in his old house next to the Kaaba, when he had the option to pray and lead Salah in Masjid al-Haram, to lead Salah in the Kaaba for the rest of his life, he didn't do that. He chose to go back to Medina." Abu Huraira says, the Ansar crowded around him, weeping, and they said, "Ya Rasulullah." He said, "We only said that because we love Allah and we love you. We only said that because we love Allah and we love you." And Abu Huraira says, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, and he says, "Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam bear witness that you speak the truth." They said, "We love Allah and we love you." And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam bear witness that you speak the truth." My brothers and sisters, my final question to you and myself: do you love Allah? And do you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ask yourself. Ask yourself. Do you love Allah? And do you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then ask yourself the next question, which is, what is the sign? Because these claims have to be substantiated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept a claim by itself. The claims have to be substantiated. And they have to be substantiated on a day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Yawma Nakhtimu ala afwahihim wa tukallimuna aydihim wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun. The day when the tongue will be sealed and the hand will speak, the hand which raised the razor to wipe out the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from your face. Look at that hand and witness and ask your hand, what are you going to say about me on the day of judgment? Because your hand will say, Ya Rab, when you made me subservient to him, this is what he made me do. I did not want to cut off the beard. I did not want to shave the beard. I did not want to wipe out the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his face, but he made me do it. Now, Ya Rab, I am no longer in his control, so I bear witness against him to you. Fear Allah and fear that day when you and I will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Nakhtimu ala afwahim wa tukallimuna aydihim. Their hands will speak. Suratul Yasin did not come for you to recite for the dead. It came for you to recite for yourself before you die. Wa tukallimuna aydihim. The hand will speak. Am I saying it or did Allah say it? Wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun. And the legs will speak and they will give shahada about what you made them do and where you made them walk. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be kind on us and to cover us with his mercy and to give us the opportunity to obey him. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to make tawbah as we sit here, because the time to make tawbah will end and then to feel regret. This is something that I do not wish on my worst enemy. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your coming. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as and then to give you more from his generosity as his gift to you. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.